Hey, good morning, everybody. How are you today? Everybody's good? Look at your neighbor real quick and say, I'm glad you're here. Look at your other neighbor, say, you too. Don't leave them out. You know, it's always interesting who you choose first whenever you say something to your neighbor. It can be a little revealing. And just so you don't want to leave the other person out, you got to talk to them, okay? And so, anyway, good morning. My name is Wade Moran, lead pastor here at Emerge. It's good. It's so good to be here today. Aren't you glad you came? I know some of you were struggling to get out of the bed. We can't tell or anything by the way you look, but we're glad you're here. And so, anyway, it's going to be worth your while. Don't laugh at them. They may not come back, okay? I want to open up with a verse of scripture here this morning. It's actually pretty much most of the chapter in Psalms chapter 146. It'll be up on the screens. You can follow along there. This morning, I really want to encourage you. Come on, how many of you can use a little bit of encouragement? Middle of the summer, am I right? You need a little bit. So let's go ahead and jump in. Psalms 146, verse 1 says, praise the Lord. Let all that I am praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. That's a strong verse right there. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. That means I'm not going to stop. I'm going to keep praising him. Even if it's bad, I'm going to keep praising him as long as I live. Amen. That needs to be a declaration. That needs to be like a statement over your life. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God with my dying breath. Now listen to this. Don't put your confidence in powerful people. There is no help for you there. When they breathe their last, they return to the earth, and all their plans die with them. But joyful are those who have the God of Israel as their helper, whose hope is in the Lord their God. He made heaven and earth, the sea, and everything in them. He keeps every promise forever. Come on, we serve a good God. Amen. He gives justice to the oppressed and food to the hungry. The Lord frees the prisoners. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are weighed down. The Lord loves the godly. The Lord protects the foreigners amongst us. He cares for the orphans and widows, but he frustrates the plans of the wicked. The Lord will reign forever. He will be your God, O Jerusalem, throughout the generations. Praise the Lord. I just feel like we need to give God some praise right there. Am I right? Come on, we got to give God some praise. So let's pray before we jump in. Lord, we thank you for this day. Thank you that we have this time to go to your word and to learn, to understand who you are. And I pray today, Father, that we would all just draw closer to you. I pray, Lord, that we will be closer to you than we've ever been before. So, Lord, I ask you today by your Spirit that you would begin to work on our hearts. And everything that's in our heart that doesn't please you, Father, I ask you, God, to remove it. I ask you to cleanse us and purify us today. Lord, I ask for your help as I speak this message. I pray that it would be life-giving, and I pray that it would be life-changing to every person who hears it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. So last week, we kicked off this series. It was called Wannabe. And some of you may have known someone back in the day. Last week, we used the example of my friend Eric from high school. And Eric was pretty caught up with Vanilla Ice, and he just wanted to do a little ice baby. He had the haircut. He had the little things in the brow. I mean, he would talk like him, act like him, walk like him, everything Vanilla Ice did. He did. In fact, I didn't tell you this, but right before graduation, he climbed up on the town water tower, and he spray-painted Booyah on the water tower. I'm telling you, this dude was infested with Vanilla Ice. He just wanted to be like him, and he was just a big time wannabe. And we used Eric kind of as our kickoff example for this series, the wannabes. And so last week we talked about, I want to be a servant. If we're gonna want to be something, I believe that we should want to be a servant. And if we're gonna serve, we got to first and foremost open our hearts. See, a lot of people, when they think serving, they think of their to-do list, but I think of our heart list, and it always comes from your heart, amen? Servanthood comes from a person's heart, but in order to serve, it can't just be a heart thing. It can't just be your intentions. You got to stretch out your hands, look at your neighbor, and tell them you need to do something. Just tell them they need a little motivation today. It's the middle of the summer, and they're slacking a little bit. Come on, preach to them. Just look at them and say, you need to do something. Now, don't tell them they need to do something with their hair. Don't tell them none of that. If it's your spouse, don't tell her she needs to do something with her makeup. That's how you get hit in church, which wouldn't be a good scene. So you got to open your heart. You got to stretch out your hand. You got to do something. And this is what you have to know, that whenever you serve, it makes a difference. That whenever you serve people, it makes a difference. All of you who are serving today on our dream team, it's making a difference in somebody's life. Amen. Can I get a better amen than that? Come on, thankfully somebody made the coffee today. Somebody on the dream team needs a hand clap. Come on, you need to clap for them. Because you know you would be struggling if you didn't have coffee. You'd be screaming at people and hitting them and all that stuff. Somebody was serving. They made a difference in your life today. And that's what service does. Whenever you begin to serve people, it'll make a difference in their life, but it'll also make a difference in yours as well. And some of you are like, oh, no, it just eats up my time. Yeah, it's a good time spent. That's eternal kind of time. Amen? That's the kind of stuff that God looks at in eternity. So we got to have a heart to serve. We got to stretch out our hand. We have to know that it makes a difference. And so I want to tell you a story before I introduce today's message. A couple years ago, my son Elijah, he was on a city league football team here in town. And we're a big football family, and Elijah's been playing football since he was 6 years old, and he just loves it. He just can't get enough of it. And so this little team that he was on, it wasn't the best team. In fact, they were terrible, man. I mean, just, it was bad. And he's not even here to defend it, but it was bad. Am I right, Judah? It was just bad. It was B-A-D bad, okay? And so they were just, I mean, they were so bad, they were having a hard time running plays. And so what they decided to do was just get a couple of the guys that were bigger, and they would line them up in the Wildcat. Anybody ever heard of that play before, the Wildcat? How many of you have absolutely no clue what the Wildcat is? Raise your hand. I want to see this. What are you people doing on Saturday afternoons in the fall? I mean, what in the world? You need to pay attention a little bit to the football program. Okay, so anyway, what happens in the Wildcat is they basically put a player in the shotgun. Anybody know what the shotgun is? Boy, I'm lost. I lost like three-fourths of you guys here today. Anyway, you line up behind the quarterback, which is the guy who snaps who gets the ball from the center. This is going deeper than I thought it would, but I had no clue you didn't know. I thought our church was a little more advanced, but I feel like we got to go back to the drawing board. So they line him up in the Wildcat, which means they're going to hike the ball to you, and everybody else is going to block, and you're going to take off running. And it's hilarious to watch these guys in Little League because they are just looking for any kind of green space and take off running because everybody is after them, okay? And the guys who are supposed to block, they don't know they're supposed to do that. They just fall on the ground. And if you were an old lineman in Little League football, just go ahead and admit it. As soon as they said hike, you fell down, okay? So they snap him the ball, and he's not the fastest guy, okay? He's good looking, but he ain't the fastest. And so he just took off running. And this little dude was running for his life. And I'm telling you, it was one of those moments where it was like, oh my, it could happen. And I just put my hands up in the air, and it was like, he could go all the way. He is going all the way. And, I mean, he's running, he's scoring. And so, like a good dad, I got my video out, man. And I'm just like this, and I didn't capture half of it, you know, because I'm just like in the moment. And he winds up scoring this touchdown, and we're just going crazy and all this stuff. And so I decided, man, that video is so good, I'm going to post it on Facebook, because, you know, I have family in Louisiana. I need them to see that. I need you to see that my son can play ball, and we're trying to work on recruiters already. You know, got to get that dude a D1 scholarship. And so I probably wasn't impressed with the speed. But anyway, so we put it on there, and I noticed that the comments, and I wish I had the video. I would have showed it, but I wish I could have gotten it for you and showed it to you. But anyway, the comments on the video had nothing to do with him scoring the touchdown. But they were all comments about this lady in the background who was losing her mind screaming as he was scoring the touchdown. And you guessed it. That's right. It was Cynthia. I mean, and if for those of you who don't know, Cynthia is my wife. Cynthia, she is just going crazy. Go! Go! That's the video. That's what it sounded like. Go! Go! In fact, when I showed it to Elijah, my son, he was embarrassed. Because it was no longer about him scoring a touchdown. It was this woman in the background. Go! Go! And then one time she said, oh my gosh! Yeah! She's looking. I mean, it was just, she didn't care who was there. She wasn't even, and listen, I know those mamas on the other side for the other team, they heard her. I know they did. She had no mercy for their children. Run him over! You know, like just hit him! And if you ever have kids that wind up playing Little League football, as a mom, something comes out in you that you didn't know you had in there. Because you thought you loved children till you saw your son hit them. And when your son hits them, you're like, that's my boy. I've seen moms grab their kids by the face mat. Mamas. Not even dads. Dads are sitting back in the chair drinking out the Yeti. That's all the dads are doing. Mamas are grabbing the face mat. You kill him next time. So for any of you who are like on the fence trying to decide if you're going to let your boy play ball or not, maybe that'll help you to decide. It's a blast, man. See, that's a sign from the Lord. What was interesting was this crazy lady screaming. She wasn't even worried about the people around her. She wasn't even worried about what it sounded like on video. In fact, she was pretty proud of it. She was like, that's right. That's right, I was screaming. That was my boy scoring that touchdown. And just thinking about that passion, thinking about how shameless that she was in that moment is really pretty cool. Because if you're the kid scoring, I mean, you just feel like $1 million because you're being cheered on like that. And she wasn't worried what she looked like in that moment. She wasn't worried what she sounded like. She wasn't worried what people think about her. And we live in a world where it's always thinking about what people think about me. Am I right? Even this morning when you came in here, you were unsure where to sit because you were afraid what people would think about you. You were afraid to lift your hands in worship because you wasn't sure if the person sitting around you would be cool with that or not. And so we have all of these things on our mind constantly. We're worried. I don't know if I should go to church. I have nothing to wear. What did you wear yesterday? I can't wear that again. I wore that 2 weeks ago. I mean, you know how this stuff goes? It just eats us up. And what's bad is that's just the dudes. You know what I'm saying? We ain't even talking about the ladies yet. Come on, man. Look at your neighbor and just tell him, come on, man. What was so cool about that moment, as crazy as it was Cynthia, she demonstrated the devotion that she had to her son. And it was careless. It was this, I'm not worried about what people think about me. I need him to know how I feel about him. I need to express my excitement and my joy that I have for him. And excuse me if it makes you feel a little uncomfortable that I'm getting that excited about my child, but I want to celebrate what he is doing. Now, before you think this is a message about parenting, today what I want to talk about is this. I want to be a worshiper. I want to be a worshiper. Because in that story, what I see is a person who is so devoted that it doesn't matter the surroundings. She is willing to express all of her heart, all of her intentions, and not just think well about them, but express it. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's one thing to have intentions, but if you never express it, all you got is a daydream. Am I right? I mean, I can have some intentions to take you to lunch, but if I say, let's go, and we get in the truck and we sit down and we begin to eat, it is no longer intention. Now it's action. Am I right? How many of you are hungry now? So this morning we're going to talk about, I want to be a worshiper. Now let's break this down a little bit. Because when you start talking about worship, I think what happens is a lot of times people get hung up on a song. They get hung up on a particular style. They get hung up on a belief system. But I think you really just got to look at worship for what it really is. And you've got to break it down a little bit for people to understand. Because in our culture, we talk about what worship is, but we don't always demonstrate it well. Am I right? You look at other cultures across the globe, and they're outwardly demonstrating their worship. And we kind of think they're weird at times because they are so expressive in it. Whereas we want to be a little bit more, you know, to ourselves. And the reason that we're to ourselves is because we are afraid what people think about us. Elbow your neighbor and say, that could be you. I know, I'm trying to make it tense in this place a little bit today. So whenever you start to define worship, it's a little bit difficult because it's an attitude of the heart, but it's also an action of your life. And when you look at the scope of the Bible, you really see a lot of different ways that worship was expressed. It wasn't just a faith system. It was an expression that people had. And you see in the Bible that people were worshiping God, but they were also worshiping idols. There were these man-made things, and there were these objects that they would literally bow down to that they believed had enough significance to give what only God could give, and they would begin to worship these objects. Now, one thing that you can conclude by reading the Bible and when you look at it is that everyone is worshiping something or someone. In fact, on the earth today, everyone is worshiping something or someone. And right here is usually where that person who thinks they're smarter than everybody else throws in there and they're saying, not the atheists. And that's just a really inaccurate thought, because atheists, even though they don't believe in a quote-unquote God, they believe that they themselves or God. And so maybe they're not worshiping a God, but they are definitely worshiping themselves, okay? And so there is an object that every person, or a person that every person, is worshiping. And we have to understand that we are worshipers by nature, amen? And so when you read through the Bible, this is what you see. You see people worshiping God. They're singing, they're clapping, they're lifting their hands, they're bowing down, they're giving offerings, they're shouting, they're playing instruments, they're writing psalms, they're doing all of these things. You can see it throughout the whole Bible, all these things that people are doing. And at the same time, you see people building idols, they're building these statues, they're worshiping false gods. And in their worship to these gods, you can see in the Bible where they would literally mutilate their bodies to give worship to these idols. Listen, I need you to know, these idols, they're not even real. They're fake. They're not even legit. And these people are willing to go through pain to express their worship to an object. Are you grabbing this today? This is how powerful worship is. And they would even go as far as sacrificing their children to these idols. Now, I know that's very foreign here in America, but if you travel the globe and you go to some of these other countries, you can see that this stuff occurs, that people are participating in this kind. And you're saying, no, not in the modern world we live in. Yes, in the modern world we live in, there is still these forms of worship that are going up to these false gods. And I see guys in here nodding their head because they've seen it. This is an indicator of how powerful and how intense worship can be. And so it can be concluded this way, that worship is really a choice who or what I'm going to give my devotion to, okay? It's who or what I'm going to give my devotion to. So you might not see people here in America bowing down to a statue or worshiping some kind of carved image or an idol, but that doesn't mean that we don't have things that people are bowing down to. Things like money. Money control. We're more devoted to our money than we are to God. And that money controls us. We depend on money more than we do Jesus. People who, they worship their possessions, just never have enough. I need more. I need more. I got to have that thing or else my life is incomplete. And so we lose Jesus, but we get that thing. Everybody's worshiping something, okay? You say, well, Pastor, it's not bad to have things. It is not bad to have things. It's just bad when things have you, okay? So money, possessions, activities. If you don't have time for Jesus, your life's out of order. I'm just going to preach it, okay? I don't want to just come up here and be nice without telling you the truth. If you don't have time for Jesus, you're too busy. And activities, without you realizing it, can become the central focus of your life without even realizing, because we're just so, watch this, busy, okay? How do we keep ourselves, though, from becoming so busy? We stay at the feet of Jesus. We must have worship included in our lives. And whenever worship goes out the door, we begin to bow down to other things. Are you grabbing this today? This is important, because without worship, our life is out of order. Whenever we're not worshiping Jesus, our life is out of order. You're going to see the stress rate increase, the anxiety, how you treat your kids, how you treat your spouse. It's going to begin to come out, and you're trying to figure out what's going on, and you think it's them. And really what it is our life isn't balanced anymore because there's no more worship that's taking place. You grabbing this? Seek first the kingdom in all these things. all these things added to you. Most of the time we go, let me get all these things taken care of so that I can worship. And this is what I found. We never can. Amen? We never can because we're so caught up with all of these things. So we got money, we got possessions, we got activities. Let me throw one at you. Relationships. Relationships. We're so busy in that relationship. We got time for them, but we're not making time for Jesus. And so that relationship, because you complete me. Thank you, Hollywood, for giving us some good theology there. So not good. Relationships can become the central focus of our life. We got to balance it. We got to have this relationship with Jesus going no matter what, and there must be worship. Another thing can be knowledge. On a quest for more knowledge, we live in a knowledge-hungry world where it's tell me more, tell me more, tell me more. And listen, I just want to remind you, in the garden, they ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and they forgot about God. And it got him kicked out the garden. I mean, they were living in paradise. I'm not saying don't get yourself an education. Be smart. Learn what you can. But the most important thing that we've got to know and learn and remember is that Jesus first. Amen? Jesus first. Anybody hearing this today? And I just want to really mess with you today with this one. Because I believe the one thing in America that has become the idol above all, and this is a good one, and everybody thinks it's important, is family. Notice how quiet it got when I said that one? Because it's almost like it's sacred. You can't talk about that, Pastor, because everybody needs to work on their family. You're right. But the work that you need isn't found at Disney. Come on, somebody. I just want to preach this in the middle of the summer. We got to have our family involved in the life of the church. Amen? Come on, let me get some help here. If we don't have Jesus and we're doing family, there is something missing. God, help us if we expose our kids to all the things they need to know in this world, but we don't expose them to Jesus. Amen? God, help us if they're on every team, but they don't go to the youth group. God, help us if they're dancing around every stage, everywhere, but they don't even know who Jesus is. Amen. God help us. And these are the things, guys, we're so caught up in that we're forsaking the worship of Jesus for all of these good things. And whenever somebody says something like family is an idol, they get mad at the person who's saying it because who do you think you are? We need to have good family. We do need to have good families, but your family can be the best if you have Jesus. Can y'all help me preach this today? And that's the thing that we got to understand. Without Jesus, our family is going to have some issues. And sure, it'll look good on the inside, on the outside, but what's going on inside? We're happy as long as we're entertaining. But what happens when we can't afford the entertainment anymore? What happens when you maxed out the credit card and you can't go anymore? See, that's the stuff that we got to talk about, because most of us will just keep burning the plastic up till it melts, thinking if I could just do this for the kids, it's going to change their life. And the only thing that can really change their life and it lasts is Jesus. This is why it's so important that we understand how incredibly important worship is. This is what worship is. It's two words, worth and ship. It's showing worth and honor and reverence to. It's what I'm devoting myself to. It's what I'm bowing down to. I need you to hear that word. It's what I'm bowing down to. What's putting you on your knees? See, some of us, we got some pressure in our life that's putting us on our knees, but the problem is this. We're bowing down to the pressure instead of bowing down to the Savior. Okay? And so this is where you start getting a little check today. You bring your cars in and they do a little maintenance check. This is where we start doing a little maintenance check on ourselves, because sometimes we become something that we never thought we would be, even while we're sitting in church. Come on, even while we're sitting in church. Because you can sit through church services, you can hear this message and amen me, shout it down, share the message on Facebook, all that fun stuff. But until you allow Jesus to become the central figure of your life, come on, until he is the central figure of your life, things are going to be out of order. Things are going to be out of balance, and you're going to find yourself struggling with things you don't even need to be struggling with. And this is why this message is essential to the believer, because sometimes we feel good because we're here. Come on, because that was my song they played today. They play my song, Come to the Altar. And we're singing those words, and we don't even know what that means. Listen, come to the altar means come up here and die. at your neighbor and say, that's good stuff right there, man. Just tell him. It's good stuff, preacher. That's what it means. It means come and lay yourself at the altar before the Lord and give all of yourself. All of it. Not just Sunday at 10, but all of your life. Give it all to him. So we got to understand that worship is a lot more than just the first three songs before we preach. This is the story of our life. Amen? That's why it's a wannabe. I want to be a worshiper. Amen? Because when I go to heaven, that's what I'm going to be doing. I'm going to be worshiping the Lord. You're like, is that all we're going to do in heaven is just worship the Lord? Trust me, you will be in heaven and you will be so enthroned with the glory of God. You'll be so just shocked at how incredible heaven is that all you will be able to do is to stand before God and say, thank you, God, because I know I didn't deserve to be here. But by your grace and mercy, I'm here. And because I'm here, I'm going to give you some praise. Amen. So let's talk about this. Three things that I believe that we need to know about worship. Three things that you need to know about worship. And here's the first thing. You were made for this. You were made for this. You were made for worship. Like I mentioned, you read through the Bible, you see these people worshiping all kinds of stuff. And everybody's worshiping something. It comes naturally to you. So you have to know that God created me with a nature to worship. But when God created you and I, he gave us purpose. He created a lot of things, and they all have their purpose, but he didn't create humans but for one most incredible thing, and that was for a relationship with him. Ain't no tree going to have a relationship with Jesus. Come on. The animals, they can't know Jesus like you and me. Amen? That's how much value he puts on us, that he would enable us to have that kind of connection. So watch these verses. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 12. This people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth. That's a tough one to say. They shall show forth my praise. God created us to show forth praise. Praise for him. The good news is God lets you choose. Isn't that incredible? That God didn't just wire you to do it just because he made you and he's forcing you to do it. He lets you choose. Imagine being in a relationship with somebody that you had to force them to like you. That's going to be a tough relationship, am I right? Sadly, people are in that kind of relationship. Trying to get another person to like them. God gave you and I the choice. He wants us to choose. Listen, he gave us the choice because that's how you know it's real. Am I right? If somebody chooses you, I mean, whenever I chose to spend the rest of my life with my wife, and when she chose, I mean, that's a big deal. Like, she decided, I want to spend the rest of my life with you. Baby, are you sure? Yes. I'm a little crazy at times. Don't matter. Gotta have you, baby. All right, let's do this. Let's get married. Feels good to be chosen. Am I right? Feels incredible. How about this? Do you realize that God chose you? See, you're here today. You're hearing the gospel. You're hearing Jesus preached. Not everybody in the world is getting to hear this today. God chose you to be able to hear the good news. Thank God he chose you. Am I right? It's an incredible feeling to know that you've been chosen. In other words, God's saying, I want you. I want you. I want you in heaven. I want you in heaven. You want to go? Let's go. I want you. You've got to choose too. And so God has given us this incredible choice to choose him because he has chosen us. And so when we start putting other things in the way of God, what we're saying is, God, I found something else. I found someone else. Don't you just hate it when somebody starts putting everything before the important things in your house? We were supposed to do, I know, I got this going, I got this going, I got to go do this, I got all these activities. But yeah, but this, you promised, I know, but I can't. That's a conversation. All right? Anybody ever had that conversation before? Anybody ever been in that conversation? As a young person, you were supposed to take care of all your chores and you didn't do them. Why? Because you were doing this, that, and the other. So you put something in front of the important things. And it always results in trouble. In our marriages, it always results in trouble. With our children, it always results in trouble. When it comes to our relationship with God, it always results in trouble. So what happens with worship is it helps us to get us back to who we are supposed to be doing what we're supposed to do. Watch this, Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure, that's a good word right there, for thy pleasure they are and were created. God created you, watch this, for his pleasure. In other words, God gets enjoyment out of your worship. He gets enjoyment out of our time together with him. And so listen, even though you think it's a pain because you got to rearrange your life to make it happen, isn't it just so incredible to know that God is pleased with the time that we spend with him? Amen? So we were created with this purpose. We were created in his image. He wanted a relationship with us. He wanted a connection with us. And I want you to imagine for a second that the Almighty God, the creator of everything, wanted a relationship with you. Think about that. The Almighty God, the sovereign Lord, he wanted a relationship with you. Again, this shows the value that he puts on us, that he would send his best, Jesus, to die on the cross to pay for the sins of people who did not deserve it. But he did it because he valued you. So watch this. Just like worship is our devotion to God, it's also a reminder of God's devotion to us. And I think we overlook his devotion to us. We don't realize how crazy God really is about us, how much he wants you, how much he wants to have time with you, how much he wants to be together with you. And we don't always understand that because we just think God got other things going on. But I need you to know that God wants you. He values you. You say, well, Pastor, I've done some stuff. He values you. He wants you. Can I hear an amen today? So we were created to connect with God through worship. And that means, God, I'm depending on you. That means, God, I love you. That means, God, watch this word, I honor you. It's a strong word. I honor you. I value you. Nothing in all of God's creation does he value and give purpose like you and me. Nothing. Nothing in all of creation can have that relationship with him like you and me can. So watch this. I want to be who God wants me to be. I want to be who God planned for me to be. I want to be a worshiper. Amen? If that's what's going on in heaven, I'm not waiting till heaven to do that. I'm going to do it. I'm going to be it right here on earth. I'm just warming up. Amen? So I want to be a worshiper. And if I'm going to be a worshiper, watch this. That means this. I have to choose him. I have to choose him. Are you choosing him? Is he just your option or is he your devotion? That's a good question to ask right now. Is he just your get me out of trouble option or is he your daily devotion? Come on. Now, this is a good test to see where your worship is, because it's easy to worship God when everything is going great, when he saved you, like you were going down and it was looking bad, and out of nowhere, God just pulled the miracle out of the hat, and you're like, oh, thank you, Jesus. Now you want to testify. Come on now. But what about when it's rough and there doesn't look like there's an answer? Can you testify then? See, that's where your devotion is really tested. Not when it's great, not when the miracle is happening, but when you need the miracle. That's when the real worship takes place. Are you grabbing this today? Can you worship him in the middle of the storm? Can you worship him when the fire's at your feet? Can you worship him when all hell is breaking loose in your life? Can you worship him? That's where you know if he's just your option or if he is your devotion. I want to be a worshiper. I want to be devoted to God. Amen? So here's the second thing about worship. Not only were you created for this, but if you're going to worship, you have to give God all of you. Not just a part, but all of you. And this includes all of your passions and all of your problems. Did you hear that? All of your passion and all of your problems. This is what I found out about passion. These are the things I love. He wants it all. And this is what I found out about problems. Those are the things that I hate. Can I get an amen? He wants it all from you. So watch this verse in John chapter 4, verse 23 and 24. It says, but the time is coming Indeed, it's here now. That's just an interesting verse right there. The time is coming, indeed it's here now, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father is looking for those who will worship him how? That way. For those who will worship him in spirit and in truth. For God is spirit, so those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. So I started looking at this verse, because if he's saying this is the way that you ought to worship, I think we ought to pay attention to it, okay? And so there's a couple things I want to pull out of here. First thing he says, but the time is coming, and indeed is now here. Make up your mind. Now, later, when are we doing this thing? Am I right? He says the time is coming for worship, but it's now time to worship. And let me give you some context for that. Anybody in here, you're praying for something and it hasn't happened yet. Let me see your hand. Okay? Hands down. Have you ever prayed for something and God answered and it's happened? Let me see your hand. So usually this is what happens. I'm praying until it happens. And once it happens, I bust out my praise, because that seems like the right time to worship him. But he says, the time is coming. The time is coming. And indeed, now is the time. And this is what that means. I'm asking and he hadn't answered yet. And the time is coming for it. And when it comes, I'm going to lose my mind in here worshiping God. But I remembered he said, now is the time to worship. So even though right now I don't see the answer and it's not happening, I'm going to be a right now worshiper. Amen? Are you grabbing this? Because that's where faith is developed. That's where faith is expressed. So I'm going to worship him now, even though I know it's coming later. So I don't have the answer right now, but I do have some assurance because Jesus is on the scene in my life. So I'm going to worship him now for a time that is coming, so that when the time comes, I don't miss what he's given to me. I'm preaching better than y'all listening today. Somebody better help me. So there's the time factor. So when you're saying I don't have time for that, I don't have time for that, what are you thinking, man? Now is the time to worship. Now. The time is coming. Oh, we're going to celebrate. Am I right? Some of you, you're already thinking about that thing that you need from God, and you're going to celebrate when it's coming. But the question is, what are you waiting for? Because he's already working. See, this is where we start getting conditional. Because I got to see. I got to see how he's going to do it. I got to see what he's going to do. Because what if he doesn't do it the way I want? I got to check and see before I give him my praise. Here's the question. Do you really trust him? Do you really trust him? Not just do you believe in him. Do you really trust him? When you really trust him, this is where you start worshiping. Okay, so let's talk about the second part. He says, true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Now, when you worship in spirit, that means that this worship, it comes from your heart. Okay. Now, I've been around some different denominations, and I'll never forget this. I was at my grandmother's funeral, and this particular denomination, they recited prayers over and over and over. And I watched this one lady. It was before the funeral. They were reciting these prayers, and it was like this monotone, you know, like recital where they were just doing it. And I watched this lady, while she was reciting the prayer out loud, by the way, she was leading it, pull out her cell phone, and while she was reciting it, she was texting somebody. I'm like, this lady's got skills. Like, how do you do that? I can't say one thing and text another. Some of y'all can do that. I can't do it. Like, I just don't have that. I don't know. Maybe it's Louisiana. I don't know. I just can't do it. But this lady was literally having a full-on text conversation with somebody while she's leading this little congregation and these recited prayers. And it was just mindless. She wasn't there. The words were coming out of her mouth, but she was not there. She was in this whole conversation on this phone. And so to understand that worship is spirit, that means it's everything within you. It's your heart. It's your soul. It's everything, your emotions, everything within. And God is saying, worship him in spirit. That means everything from the inside, pour it out to him. Today, I wondered when we were singing those songs, if you worshiped him with everything within you. See, a lot of times we're not worshiping in spirit and in truth. We're giving him a hand every now and then. Amen? Give him a hand. I'm going to give him a hand. But he wants your heart. So if I'm going to worship in spirit and in truth, I have to understand that worship comes from the heart that is within me. But watch this. When I'm worshiping in truth, it means that I am connecting with the truth. Now, when we talk about truth, you have to understand it. It's not just a lesson that somebody is teaching, but the truth is a person, and that person is Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Are you grabbing this today? And so it's not just me agreeing with a lesson that was taught. It's me agreeing with the teacher who is teaching it. So whenever I worship in spirit and in truth, I am pouring out my heart. That's the spirit. And I'm connecting with the truth with this Jesus, which means I'm literally aligning myself with all that he is and everything that he says. That's what true worship is. Now, I want you to imagine this. If I wanted a drink of water and I have a cup and over here is a dispenser where the water is poured out, but I'm standing right here, guess how much I'm going to get? None of it. Even though I can acknowledge that there is water being poured out of the dispenser, and even though I can acknowledge that I have a container to contain everything that is being poured out, if I'm not aligned with it, I'm not going to get everything that it has to offer. And this is where people are, because they can see the way, the truth, and the life. They can agree with the way, the truth, and the life. But because there is no alignment, they're not receiving everything that God has for them. Are you seeing this today? And when I talk about alignment, it's not just a political position. It's not just a physical position, but it's a spiritual position where I understand where I am and who I am in Christ. Are you grabbing this today? And so when I give God a place in my life and allow him to be the Lord and Savior in my life, I am now aligned with everything that he has for me. And whenever I give him praise, the glory of God comes down in my life and I am able to receive everything that God has for me. Are you grabbing it? This is good stuff. You should be fired up. Like, you should be like slapping hands with people and pushing them over. This is good. This is better than what I wrote in my notes. Man. So let me say it this way. Worship is expression, but it's also transformation. It's not just me sharing how I feel, because we have gotten really good with sharing how we feel. Am I right? I mean, we just wear it. Show up looking like this, and we know people are going to say, what's wrong? Nothing. You liar. But that's what we wanted to happen. Because we want them to say, no, I can tell something's wrong. What's wrong? Nothing. And then they got to pull us aside, talk to us, make us feel better about ourselves. Come on now. Somebody's getting busted in here today. Why don't we understand that this is what we were created for, worship? And why don't we connect with God with all of our heart, express everything to him? You see, we're better at expressing to a friend all of our issues than we are expressing it to God. Right. You got some good friends. Thank God for them. But I need you to know that friend is limited. That friend can't work a miracle. Amen. And if your friends don't point you back to Jesus, time to reevaluate. What about pouring it all out to the one who can heal it, who can save it? Come on. Who can deliver, who can turn it around, who can redeem it, who can restore it? There's a few people in here that got some testimonies about what God did, and they will say this: we tried everything. That's always the story. We tried everything. But it wasn't until we fully surrendered it all to the Lord. That's what I'm talking about with that alignment, where they finally realize that what I'm getting in my cup isn't going to fill me up unless I get to him. And everything, that means I have to align my life with him. He has to become the foundation of my life, not just the option, but the foundation, the devotion of my life. And because he is the centerpiece of my life, now I'm aligned in everything he has for me. I'm open to it because he's pouring it out, and I am in position to receive everything that he has for me. Where are you at? See, a lot of people, when it comes to worship, we ask, where are you at? They're like, I don't do that hand lifting thing. Don't do that. That's cool, but here's my question. So what do you do? Okay? That's just checking oil, kicking the tires today. So what do you do? Do you have some devotion to God where you're expressing it and the reciprocation of it is transformation? Because there's a lot of people worship out of ritual, meaning it's mindless. Worship Jesus. Amen. That's good. That's good. That's good. Sit down. It's enough. Three songs is enough. Don't like when they don't sing. I don't know what to say or what to do. It's weird. Sing to Jesus. Tell him thank you. This is what I want you to know, that you can give your all to God. You can give it all. You can tell him what's going on. You can tell him you're angry. Come on. You can tell him that you're lonely. You can tell him that you're hurting. You can tell him all the stuff. You can tell him what you're passionate about, and you can tell him what you're aggravated about. He can handle it. He wants it all. So when we're talking about worship, it's not just me getting all cleaned up so that I can worship God, because God already knows. It's me giving God all that I've got, because you can be dirty, but if God gets your heart, that's what he's always wanted. But you can be clean, and if he never gets your heart, he didn't get you and you didn't get him. Come on now. You can go to God just as you are. You can pour out your passion. You can pour out your problems. God can handle it. So watch this. When I connect with God, I become like him. That means this. When I connect with God, he's faithful, so I become faithful. See, relationships have influence. My parents used to say stuff like this to me. I don't like that boy that you're hanging around. He's turning you into someone else. You said it to your kids. Relationships have influence. When I worship God, that relationship, that connection, it begins to influence me. And the faithful one influences me to be faithful. Come on, isn't that a good way to be described? I want to be faithful. Come on, look at your spouse and say, I want to be faithful. That's a good one. You better look at her. You better tell her that. When I connect with God, watch this. I become generous. He's generous. When I get around him, it makes me want to be generous. Did you hear how I said that? When I get around him, it makes me want to be generous. How many of you want to be generous? How many of you want it to be said about your life? That was a generous guy. That was a generous lady. How is that going to happen? Well, Pastor, when I get some money, it's going to happen. No, it's not. Somebody gave you a bag of chips and a friend asked for one. You said, get your own. And you didn't even eat the whole bag. When I get around him, though, he begins to influence me. Are you grabbing this? When I get around him, I begin to be faithful. I'm generous. I become grateful. See, worship, it's expressed, but it's also transforming. When I worship God, I'm expressing it all. Listen, you can come and worship and give God everything. All of it. And that's what's so amazing about it. Is now it's all off your chest. Some of you, you need that so bad, but you're looking in wrong places to pour it out. And so you're expecting that relationship with that friend. Can I tell you, at some point, they're going to get tired of hearing it. I know they're your BFF, but sooner or later, they're going to be your gone BFF. Too busy BFF. I'm serious. We've got to know where to go with this stuff. I'm pouring it all out on him. So when we say pour out your praise, that means everything within you. All of it. Get it all off your chest. Express it and let him transform it. Here's the last thing. This is what's so awesome. Yet you're created for it. Give God your all. Number three, God will respond. That's what's awesome. God will respond, and he always responds with his presence. A couple verses. Psalm 22, the Lord inhabits the praises of his people. He gets up in it whenever you're praising him. James 4:8 says, draw near to God. He will draw near to you. He responds to us with his presence. And there is nothing more refreshing and reassuring than the presence of God. knowing that God is with me, and it's so tangible that I feel it in my heart. I feel it within me. I know that God is with me. And there are some of you here today, you're walking through some stuff, and you need some reassurance that God is with you. And you say, Pastor, I'm praying, I'm asking God to do everything, and I don't feel like He's doing anything. Keep praying, but while you're praying, why don't you go ahead and praise Him? God, we're praying for this person to be healed. We know that you're our healer. Thank you that you're a healer. God, we're praying for finances. We don't know what we're going to do, but your word says that you provide for all of our needs, and I thank you now that you will provide. So watch this. Bring some balance to your prayers. Send the requests, but balance it with some praise and worship. Amen. God, I'm asking you to do this, and I thank you that you're our provider. I'm asking you to heal this. I thank you that you're our healer. I'm asking you to save my son who's away from us. I thank you that you're our savior. There brings some balance, and that always leaves hope. It always leaves hope in our heart whenever we balance out our prayers with our praise. Are you grabbing this today? So God will respond. And I got to read this verse, and this is how we're going to end. Acts 2:25. I see that the Lord is always with me. I will not be shaken. Come on, this is such a good word for somebody. For He is right beside me. No wonder my heart is glad and my tongue shouts His praise. No wonder my heart is glad. I know He's with me. He is with me. I'm not shaken by this. I know He's with me. Or it's bad. I know it's bad, but He's with me. No wonder I can shout His praise. Watch this. My body rests in hope, for you will not leave my soul among the dead or allow your Holy One to rot in the grave. You have shown me the way of life, and you will fill me with, watch this, you will fill me with the joy. Say joy. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, you need to get some joy. You fill me with the joy of your presence. And watch this. Have fun. Go do all your stuff. But just know where joy comes from. Joy comes from the presence of God. We can go eat a good burger for lunch. It'll be good and we'll be happy. But that don't mean I'm going to be filled with joy. Come on. You get a new vehicle and feel really good about it. You can be happy and then pay that note and still have joy. Because you chose a Chevy. Anyway, no, that's not it. I had to say that. That's a good, that was good right there. Elbow your neighbor and say, I'm glad that dude's my preacher. So watch this. It's in His presence that our perspective is changed. The way I look at it is changed. Because even though it could be horrible, I can still have joy. See, peace isn't the absence of battle. It isn't the absence of war. It's the presence of God in the middle of the war, in the middle of the storm. It's in His presence that I'm changed. It's in His presence that I'm purified. It's in His presence that I'm reassured. So watch this. Let me throw some wannabes on you from this point. I want to be hopeful. How many of you want that to be your life? I want to be hopeful. I want to be healed. I want to be filled. I want to be restored. Come on, any wannabes in this place today? Are there any wannabes in here? Listen, if you want all those things in your life, then you got to want to be a worshiper. Come on, that's good Southern language right there. You got to want to be a worshiper. Are there any worshipers in the house today? Come on, why don't you stand to your feet? If you're a worshiper, why don't you just do your thing and lift your hands and praise to the Lord this morning? Some of you, you've been praying about it, but right now you need to worship about it. Some of you, you got some family stuff going on, and y'all been in the bedroom arguing, and y'all been fighting, throwing words. Come on, right now you need to throw your praise to the Lord. Come on, you need to begin to express your heart to the Lord. Some of you are struggling financially, and you're working your budget better than anybody's ever worked budget before, but at the end of the day, you need God to provide for your needs. Why don't you worship Him like He is a provider? Why don't you worship Him like He is a healer. Come on, any worshipers in the house today? Come on, somebody needs to say something. Somebody needs to thank the Lord. Somebody needs to say, God, I thank you that you are with me. Amen. I thank you, Lord, that you are our ever-present help in times of trouble. Thank you, Lord, that you will never leave us nor forsake us. Thank you, Lord, that you're our provider. You're our healer. You're the Savior of the world. And you said you wouldn't leave us. So today, we're drawing close to you, Father. You're the way, the truth, and the light. We choose in your ways. Right now, we're aligning ourselves with you. We're aligning ourselves with you. And Father, I pray that as we pour out our praise, Father, that you will pour out your presence on every life in this place.